everybody. I want to thank you all for having let me be here today, take some of your time. Thank Brock for our correspondence and getting this thing set up. My name is Tom Perino, and I'm from Hyatt Legal Plans, which is a company in Cleveland. And I'm going to talk to you tonight about a service we offer, which is student legal services. I don't have any good lawyer jokes. Well, I do have a couple good lawyer jokes, but I don't want to offend anybody. There may be some people who want to be lawyers here, too, so we'll leave that for later. All right, real quickly, and I want you guys, I mean, this is your meeting, this is your time, so ask questions. I'm just using this as a reference point to go through. I see you've got some information here. The proposal that you're looking through, and please do take some of these stress books too. The proposals you have go into a lot more detail about our service. I'll leave some cards behind so if you guys want to collect some questions, and hopefully we'll get a lot of questions answered today. But just as some background, a group legal plan, you'll hear that a lot. In the employee world, the work world, employers used to pay for everything. Now there's a real shift away from that to where they pay for dental, medical, and maybe a couple others, the core benefits. Everything else is a voluntary benefit, meaning they can offer a whole list of things, and you choose. It's voluntary. You choose what you want. That's what a group legal plan is. It's a voluntary benefit. Companies offer it, or organizations offer it, because we have a lot of schools that offer it. They offer it to their employees, and employees say, yeah, I want to be in this, or no, I don't. So they're making a conscious decision to invest their money on a monthly basis. That's the concept that we brought to student legal services. There are a couple differences in the model. It's a less robust plan, but you'll see the things that it does cover. I think the students are really interested in. As, again, some more background. Hyatt Legal, who are we? Well, we're the largest group legal plan provider by far in the country. 3 million participants, 1,000 organizations offer our plan. We have 100 of the Fortune 500, and believe me, when they don't just offer things out there. They put out requests for proposals. They go through a lot of due diligence before they offer anything to their employees. As you might imagine, I mean, there's a lot of things involved with offering any kind of benefit to employees. They want to make sure it's the best. We have 4,600 law firms, and that's an important distinction. We don't contract with individual attorneys, because it helps us manage quality a little bit better, and we'll get into our network too. And we're a MetLife company for almost 10 years now. MetLife is one of the Fortune 100, one of the largest financial services companies in the world. Very conservative, very slow approach to things. They offer, of course, life insurance and other financial services, but also a lot of voluntary benefits, and we fit right into what they, as far as their business model. I won't read through this. Basically, what we're trying to do and what we built our business on is making it easy for people to get to qualified attorneys to take care of personal legal matters. You go in, you see an attorney, you talk to the attorney on the phone, and then everything behind the scenes between the attorney and Hyatt, as far as how much time they spent with the participant, how much they should be paid, that's all handled behind the scenes. So again, it's based on being very easy and very affordable. This is where everyone goes ooh and ah, because we have some, this is a great slide and a lot of colors, but we have some big companies, and some we've had for quite a long time. Some of these, there are thousands of people from these companies who use our plan. And these are colleges that offer it to their employees. Now, we've, again, been in business for about 30 years. We have offered student legal for about 2 years now. And the one thing that we found about working with schools is they move very slowly. We don't have any schools right now that offer it to students. There are some very big schools, NYU, USC, a smaller school in Indiana is in the process of getting it approved. But what we find is that when it gets to that point, as far as who's going to sign the contract, that's where things get stalled a little bit. So again, these schools offer it to their employees, not to their students. So maybe Penn State could be on the cutting edge and be the first one out there. We'll see. This is a slide that we spent a lot of time with, and we usually give this presentation to a room full of administrators and some students. So it's nice to see a room full of students who will be impacted by this. But I think you guys know why a student meal plan. I think you have one. I think it worked very well. It's a different model than ours. But I don't think we have to ask why student legal plan. I think it's something that if maybe even some of you have used it in the past, and now that it's not there, maybe something that that you'd like to get back. Really, with any sort of plan, the attorney network is what's key. That's the service delivery end of our business model. Hyatt was started by, as you might imagine, by an attorney, actually two attorneys, one who's still with the company, he's our CEO. All of our officers are attorneys. They're not practicing anymore, but they work, and they understand what is good service. They know how to handle attorneys' questions. They know how to manage a network as large as we have. That's really important that again, if meetings proceed, I may be able to speak with our CEO. We'll be very interested in talking and getting your questions. But we have attorneys who manage this whole process. I don't know if that's good or bad, but we're doing a good job so far. We keep growing. Everybody likes us. We're not in any trouble. So our network is in all 50 states and U.S. territories. Now, of course, you're going to want to know what the attorney network is like here. And I think within a 30-mile radius, we have 12 or 15 attorneys. But that number is not random. That means that we just don't have a lot of business in this area, a lot of organizations that offer our plan. We grow by the number of participants or the number of employees that are in a given zip code. We want to keep the attorneys happy, so we want to keep it at a point where they have a lot of people coming in and seeing them. But if you're here and you're part of the plan and you go on vacation or you don't live here and you go back home, you can use the same plan in all 50 states and U.S. territories. You call an 800 number or you go on our website, find an attorney of your choice, call that attorney. We don't even have to be involved to get the process rolling. And you can get service from those two.
Yeah. Does that apply to students in the summer as well?
It could. There's plans where it would either be covering by quarter, semester, or a 12-month period.
And is that an option for students, or is that an option based like on the individual student or on the school policy?
It's how it would be offered to one student, be offered at all. So it wouldn't be an individual choice. I mentioned a little bit about the last one, about the choice. The point to make here is that we don't have to be involved. We don't need to know what the nature of the legal matter is. You can contact the attorney of your choice and talk to the attorney to get service. And then the attorney contacts Hyatt to get paid.
Does they like to get paid? I don't understand.
Here's what we talked about a little bit. There's 1-800 number. When you call that during business hours, you get a Hyatt employee, no phone trees, which are very aggravating. You get a Hyatt employee who will get you right to a customer service rep. You can go, and I would encourage you to go on the website. when you get to legalplans.com, in the top right, there's on the top right-hand corner is thinking about enrolling. You can click on that, and the password is MetLaw, M-E-T-L-A-W, in all caps. You can cruise throughout through the network or through the website. You can go and see what attorneys are in the area. A lot of self-service, self-help documents are available. And you can even email questions to one of our participating attorneys. Again, the point is direct access. We don't have to be involved with that. Okay, here's the plan. And it's in the proposal that I gave you as well, too. The blue headings are the major legal service, and then there's some examples below that what's covered. But those blue service, the unlimited telephone advice and office consultations on any personal legal matter, it's not excluded. And exclusions are down here at the bottom. They're very few, but you can't use it against the university, no employment-related matters. You can't use it against Hyatt or any of the attorneys. So the basic things that you would think would be excluded. But for any other personal legal matter, even if it's not listed on there, you can call an attorney and just talk to them and see what advice, what's your next step. If it's on this plan, that means it's fully covered. From the beginning of that first phone call through completion, including trial if necessary, it's included with the service. Yeah.
I'm just wondering, if a student would have a degree of legal concern with the university, why would I not have that?
Well, no university is going to offer a plan that's going to give them a gateway for students to pass over to the university. So, you have to exclude things that you can't even talk to an attorney about a university matter. It's just, and we built our other service, the group legal, on the same premise. You can't use it against your employer. These are personal legal matters that you handle.
Okay, so you
got
anything about the payment? So if they went to a PhD and not a PhD and just started from the school, then they'd be going to the government to get a PhD from the school?
No, we can't change that exclusion. It'll never get approved. We would never get approval from the university if it was allowed to use against the university. So, again, telephone advice, office consultations on any personal legal matter. The other ones, tenant matters, debt, which includes identity theft, consumer, traffic, document review, those are fully covered from beginning through completion, including trial. Now, if you're looking at it as a 12-month type of service, it would be $3 a month, $36 a year. The way that it's set up now is on an opt-out basis. That's how we can keep it so low. That means more people will stay in than will opt out. One of the schools is looking at it as that all students get it, so they don't have to worry about an opt-in or an opt-out. Does that make sense? You know, you get it unless you say, I don't want it. And that's how we can keep that low. Seems to be a sticking point with students and with administration as well. We have schools that are doing it on opt-in, but the price is much higher and the price is up. Yes?
Well, I have a question about that. If a student opts out like in August and then they decide come October they want it, how does that work?
They can't get in.
Okay, so it's a yearly.
So you stay in for the year or whatever's determined by the school and its students. So if you want it just for the quarters or semesters, or if you want it for the full year, that's agreed upon up front. That's how it's set up. From the first day of classes is really like the effective day, and then you're in it for the whole year. Yes?
What about students who might graduate in December, say, or withdraw from the university for a semester? Would they still have to continue paying once they're no longer a university student, or?
Well, from the school, but were already in the plan, like if they paid, one of the other options is to pay it just one time up front, $36, and then you're in. If you've paid that, you're going to be in. Now, unless the university defines it differently, and again, these are all the areas that have to be decided. If a student has paid but leaves the school, are they still in? We would still cover them. Some schools have said yes, some have said no, and that's how it's really gets defined in the final agreement. Does that answer that your question? Yeah.
I could have probably totally missed this here, but as you obviously know, there's probably various student personalities around here. And is there a certain, what I'm getting at, is there a certain limit to the legal services? What do you have here? Obviously.
Good question. I pointed out one just so that I could answer. There are no restrictions or limitations on usage.
Okay.
You can use it as much as needed.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for a good question, too. It'd be juicy. Yeah.
I imagine the quote of $36 is taken into account the fact that we have so many members of Penn State. What is the cutout rate? Like, do we increase exponentially if we have half the population opt out? Like, what is that guideline? Or
another great question. No, there's no minimum participation. Huh. So if one student's in it, Penn State has a student legal plan. Yeah.
Would then the benefits be curtailed or changed?
No. No. Nothing would be changed. Yeah.
So they have to get permission to ask the question.
Second.
I noticed up there, I don't see what I consider probably the four most common offenses that a student would commit: underage drinking, harassment, disorderly conduct, and civil assault.
Wow.
None of that is covered?
Wrong place. I'm sorry. Those really are covered under advice and consultation,
but they just...
They're not fully covered under the plan.
So...
It's the same when we talk to organizations or companies. They ask about divorce, DUI, criminal matters. You know, we'll cover just about anything. I mean, there are lawyers, we have lawyers that will handle any sort of legal matter. But the question then is, and we ask, do you want that covered? Do you want that as something that becomes a philosophical question? Do you want that to be covered? Technically it is, because they can talk to an attorney about any personal legal matter. That wouldn't be an excluded matter. That's just not one that's fully covered. Now, it brings up another good point about maybe making a custom plan, maybe adding something, taking something away, adjusting the price. If you have every student at Penn State that gets it, I could go to my CEO and lower that rate, maybe add something or take something away. So it's a good question, but as it stands right now, this is what the plan is. And it would be covered for advice and consultation. The attorney would then be able to say, okay, it's not fully covered, but if you want me to handle your case, I'll give you a written fee agreement, and then they'll upfront say, I'm covered for this amount. So there's some containment, there's some manageable amount. Yes?
Yeah. You keep throwing around this word consultation versus fully covered, and I mean, I've been involved in legal matters, and there's an interesting line between advice and maybe giving you paperwork. I'm just wondering, what is fully covered considered and what is just advice? Is advice just talking with you, or is advice giving you paperwork, or, you know, referring to other people, or what is that?
That could be part of it, advice and consultation. Here's my advice, and I would recommend you do this, okay? If it's fully covered, that means as an attorney, I take from beginning through completion, including trial, if necessary. So, yeah, advice and consultation is what that sounds like. There may be some additional services within that, but they won't go to court, they won't do any of the paperwork, they won't file anything. Yes?
If we were to accept this plan,
I'd say to yield the floor to Mr. Hunt.
Yeah, thanks.
Second.
If we were to go ahead and accept this question, accept this plan, say tonight, hypothetically, say you just got everything done, you're going for next semester, or next fall semester, who would handle the, you know, advertisement, who would bear the cost? I mean, as you know, it was a large campus, it would take a lot of resources to make sure all the students knew about it, knew about how to access the plan, how to opt out if they wanted to. I mean, who would handle that? Who would bear that cost?
We can provide information. We've got some best practices that have worked, but it would be for the school to distribute, which would be through email, through posters that we provide. We have small brochures that we could make available in different areas, trifold brochures. We would make the 800 number available so that people could call before they had to make that decision. But again, it would be the university. It would work together because we could provide a lot of the materials, but the university then would put the posters up or send out the campus emails. They'll put it in a newsletter, maybe. Yes?
Along with the same timeline question, let's once again hypothetically propose that it was accepted this evening, which obviously we can't do. What would be the time frame to implement it? Would it be for, is there like a 1 month thing? You talked about like NYU, is it like a 4 year thing?
If you accepted it tonight, really we would need maybe a month to get it going, if that. It would all depend on really what works best here. How is it going to be, how are all the students being made aware of it? We want everybody to have a chance to go on the website and call the 800 number. We probably have more meetings like this where we could explain it more. So if we want to get it in and get it going and then keep promoting it along the way or have a nice build up to it and then make it effective, it would really then all depend on what works best here. Does that answer?
Yes, it does.
Has Hyatt approached the Penn State faculty or administration? I know you've mentioned a bunch of different universities that offer your service to the faculty and administration or maybe one of the two.
Yeah.
Has Hyatt ever been in consultation with Penn State administration?
I believe so. I believe that was another one of my colleagues that had contacted somebody here. I don't remember who it was, though. But we've had, being part of MetLife and being on our own market, sales and marketing, we've talked to all the sizable, you know, organizations in the area, but I know somebody from Hyatt has talked to Penn State. I don't think that's offered right now to employees. Yes.
Just so that everyone is aware, what you're speaking of is someone from your company has talked to the university about this benefit for faculty and staff.
Yeah, is that what you asked?
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
All right, okay.
Yeah, this is the first conversation with students.
Okay. So help me understand something. Now I have another question.
Yeah.
So if every student pays $36, and we're talking about 44,000 students,
right,
we're talking about $1.5 million. So, and that would be great if everybody did that. But what's your bottom line? Where do you break even? So what if half of those students opt out and we were 22,000 students? Where does that change the number?
No, there's no minimum participation. The number could go down, for example, if it was decided that all students should have this, then we could make a case, okay, it should be less because we've got a bigger population. As an opt-out plan, more people will stay in it than will come out of it, so we can keep the price lower. But if one student decides to stay in the plan, it would be $36, and that person would have access to our network.
And so you have no bottom line. Your company is going to make money whether 2,000 students do it or 22,000.
Well, if you take it case by case, I don't know if we'll make money with one student, but we would be in agreement to have a plan here. So it's not a matter of, I mean, Hyatt is almost a $100 million piece of MetLife, which is a $100 billion company. So it's to launch this program, there is no minimum participation.
Okay. And you haven't done this before. this point with a university.
No, for
okay.
students.
So it would be new territory.
Yep.
And I can tell you, it would take longer than a month to get into the
Yes, sir.
Second. Second.
I'm just curious, would this be a service that we could eventually extend to alumni, to allow alumni to join? I mean, you know, that's
a big, that's
large
weird.
Alumni.
Yeah, network. And we've talked to, and that becomes, then that moves into like the association. And the one thing with associations is we need a point, we need a central point, pay point. Somebody that collects where the money comes in and then disperse it. With associations, there usually isn't that point. We'd love to be able to offer it to different associations. Right now, the only one it really has that it really works for are hospital associations. I know that's just a side point, but yeah, we could do something like that. Yeah.
Now, as long as the school agrees, would you be willing to offer it to the Commonwealth Camp and all other things as offered?
Isn't
that?
Yeah, we would love to.
Okay.
Sure. Now, I would think that, and this maybe gets into, would each one of those schools be responsible for signing an agreement?
Well, that's the question. What you're basically talking about is a student activity fee,
right,
which you have to process through the administration. USGK cut a check. You're looking to the university to do that. So it would have to be the same thing. So student activity fees have to be, there's a student board that makes recommendations, but ultimately the president has to sign off on any increases. So they would have to go through that. And the Commonwealth campuses could give input and say, yes, we want this, or they'll do that. But I think, again, your challenge is, when you're looking at some of the areas that are a little more remote, can you really say that you have, you know, 12, 15 people within a 30-mile
radius?
So you just have to look at different means if they look great.
Yeah, and that's how the network grows. I mentioned we have 4,600 firms and 9,500 attorneys. But that's not a random number. We want to make sure that we have the right number of attorneys where people live, go to school, work, and that's how we grow. So, sure.
Would your company provide any type of educational workshops and support for students? Because really, the lion's share of students that abuse our student legal services in the past are almost always for landlord-tenant issues. And so the real issues are helping to educate people about how to sign a lease, what it really means, reading the fine print of those things. Would you all be willing to do any kind of educational workshops for our students?
That's been brought up before, and we have looked into that. We would look into doing something like that, whatever fit. But again, by calling an attorney and saying I've got an issue with the landlord, they're getting service. They're getting education that way too. So answer your question, yes, but also that's part of the service that they can do to call and find out. Call a specific attorney. Yes?
How difficult would it be to get offenses like underage drinking, assault, harassment added to the coverage plan?
Well, they wouldn't be cheap, and I think it would maybe price things out of where it would be feasible to do it, but we'd be willing to look into it to see if that was really something that the university would agree to, students wanted on the plan, we could probably get something like that on there. And again, I hate to keep going back to this, it's getting broken, but they could, any one of those, they could talk to an attorney, get advice and consultation on it. Yes, I'm sorry.
In here, it talks about misdemeanor defense.
Yes.
Wouldn't some of those charges constitute misdemeanors?
They could.
So then they would be covered then?
Yeah, they would be fully covered if they were then classified. That's a good point. If they were a misdemeanor defense. Why is that not on there?
It's in the book, but
It's what it wasn't allowed in Illinois, but it's allowed now in Illinois, so maybe that that's why it was not there. Yes?
All right, let's say that a student that's covered graduates, and they've already started legal proceedings with a lawyer that's submitting for payment to Hyatt. At what point would Hyatt stop paying? Once coverage has ended or once the actual legal matter has ended?
Good question. Once the legal matter has ended. So that's a good example of fully covered from beginning through completion, including trial, no matter where that student is. No longer a student, now out of the college, but still has that legal matter going all the way through completion. Yes?
Okay, so to kind of clarify that, if I would get in trouble today, contact the lawyer tomorrow, and graduate 2 days from now, I would still be covered to the end of it?
Yes.
Okay.
It's all about getting trouble around here. All right, let's see what other slides we have. We'll get some more questions. Customer service, again, Hyatt is, like I said, almost a $100 million piece of MetLife. We have about 80 employees in Cleveland. We're all in one area. And customer service takes up about half of that number. There's about 36 or 37 customer service reps. Because it's important. I mean, the attorney network, for obvious reasons, has to be top-notch, and it is very important. But when you call in to Hyatt, this is the people that you talk to. And you know that they're trained. When they talk to somebody that hasn't used the plan before, they're listening to that. They're understanding that people have a lot of anxiety. They want to talk to an attorney. So they get people to talk to an attorney as quickly as they can. They encourage people to use the plan. If you have, if there's any questions or concerns, it's still that 800 number. So you're calling in one number. It's a very flat organization where you call in and they take that information. They either take it to the panel, the group that manages the attorneys, or to one of the other groups that can help them solve the problem. That just wraps it up.
Any other questions? Really quickly, your procedure for recruiting lawyers in the area, if I don't test it, what would that look like? How long would it take? How far in advance would you guys work on that to get it?
It's about a 6-week process, 6 to 8 weeks. So once we got the word that, yes, it was going to be offered here, we have the group, the department that manages the network, would reach out. There's an interview process. They have to have, of course, from an accredited university, no trouble with the bar, all the basic things before we would even consider it. And then we interview them, we see what kind of legal matters they handle. We take referrals from people like yourself. I mean, maybe you know somebody, or from other attorneys that are in the area. And we probably have more attorneys contact us than we reach out to them, because Hyatt, there's 3 million people in our plan. Attorneys want to be a part of our network. We don't just add attorneys randomly. So, but there is a process to do that. And they're re-credentialed on an annual basis. We talk to all the firms on an annual basis to make sure that they've kept up with the requirements.
Are there any other questions?
I'm just looking at some of the definitions on page 9.
Yeah.
So some of the things on the bottom that says criminal listing in the law matters. So it says here that you don't cover if someone gets a traffic violation or driving under the influence. So is that no traffic violations?
That's just traffic
to
DUI.
Okay. Now the last thing is, it says representation in court hearings, which is good, negotiation with prosecutor at trial, but it does not include representation of a felony charge that is subsequently reduced to a misdemeanor. Well, how do you know? Because you don't know if it's going to be reduced until your attorney negotiates it.
Well, I think that is, when you have to make a definition, and they'll have coverage, That's a good question. I don't think I can answer that right now. It's really handled when the attorney provides service and it gets to that point. They'll usually handle the case. Maybe they contact Hyatt first before they do that to see if they can do this. So it's really a case by case.
All right, my next question, for tenant matters, the last sentence talks about that you would exclude if someone went to take someone to court to get their security up with the property. Mm-hmm. So that's, again, an example of what I would be saying about education that would be needed. Because student, that's usually a big issue for people, and they would want to know, how do I go about getting my security deposit back if I feel like it was wrongfully denied to me?
And that's usually, when it gets to that point, that's usually a small claims case. So you know what, most states don't allow attorneys to represent in small claims, but again, here's what you need to do is some of the advice and consultation to handle that.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to ask you how you arrived at the price of $36, primarily to, I guess, reassure myself that it's not something that's going to increase over the next few years.
Right. First of all, whatever price is agreed upon, we can guarantee that for 3 years, up to a 3-year contract. The way that we came to that price is the same way that we've been pricing our services for 30 years. Understanding the legal, the cost, what attorneys expect as far as fees, and the usage. So we've kept a database of how much things are used, how much we've paid, and we go through that process on an annual basis to review the pricing. But with an agreement of 3 years, you can lock rate the guarantee the rates for 3 years.
Just a point of clarification, which you said there. The trap, I hate to go back to the criminal thing here on the benefits, but the traffic, you said specifically it's driving under the influence. So the benefits would still cover like summary offenses and so forth?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's specific because if you want DUI covered, we normally have to, it's an expensive coverage. So it would have to be covered and added to it as a custom plan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you lose your license because of DUI, that's covered.
Okay.
So they help you restore your license, but we won't cover the actual DUI. Or as the plan, as it stands right there.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Further questions?
If you have more, I'll leave some cards up here. Maybe, I don't know if you want to collect them all and send them off at once or what the next step will be. But feel free, please call or email questions that you have that come up. Be happy to handle it.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everybody. I appreciate your time.